Greetings. Welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Bava Batra, Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Bet, at the beginning of the second Mishnah of the seventh Perek, Beit Kur, continuing with issues of selling land and how much land is included. Beit Kur Afarani Mocher Lecha Mida B'Chevel. So unlike the first Mishnah, in this case, the seller said, I'm selling you a Beit Kur Afar to the measure, Midah B'Chevel, right on the measure. Pichit Kol Shu Yinakeh, if he left anything out, he has to then take off from the price. In other words, it has to be exact. Hotir Kol Shu Yachzir, if on the other hand he gave too much, the fellow has to return the land. V'ima Marhin Chaser Hin Yater, but if on the other hand he said more or less, Afilu Pichit Rova Laseya, even if he left a Rova Kav Laseya, which is 1/24, Ohotir Rova Laseya, or over that, gave two more to that effect, Higio, the deal is good. Yoter Mikam, if it's more than that ratio, Yaseh Cheshbon, then you have to make an accounting and pay back either way. Now, Mal Machzirlo, what is it that the buyer has to return to the seller if the buyer got too much? Ma'ot, he has to give back money, not land. But if he wanted, and what it means is, if the seller wanted, the buyer has to give back land instead. The language here is a little bit twisty. So why did the rabbi say you return money? It was in order to give more power to the seller. Why? So he will have the choice whether to accept money or karka. Remember, tisha kabin is the minimal size of a sadeh. So let's say that the total amount of overage was 1/20 instead of 1/24, so it's enough to return, and that amount was 9 kabin in a field, or uvigina beit chatzikav, 1/18 of that size, which is the size of a gina, kiver Rabbi Kiva beit rova, or kun Rabbi Kiva, even a rova hakav is enough of a gina, marzilo atakarka, then the seller can say, I want the land back. In other words, the seller can say, that land is sizable enough that I can do something with it instead of money, give me the land. He doesn't just return the rova, he has to return all of the surplus. We'll, in the Gemara, work with that language. Now, Ibayaluhu, Beit Kur Stama Mai. What do you do when a guy just says Beit Kur? In other words, we saw Beit Kur exact, and then we saw Beit Kur more or less. What about just Beit Kur? Toshma, so try from our Mishnah. Beit Kur Afani Mocher Lecha Mida B'Chevel. So if you said exact, right on the measure, then what's the halacha? Pachot kol shehu yinakeh, yater kol shehu yachzir. So anything off has to be fixed. Hastama, so if you don't say midah b'chevel, kein chaser hin yater dami. Sounds like the same rule is more or less. In other words, the default is more or less. But ema seifa, look at the end of our Mishnah. Mamar lo hin chaser hin yater, filu pichet rova l'seya, utir rova l'seya, higiyo. So when you say more or less, then you have that 1/24. Hastama ki midah b'chevel dami. So the default is exact. The answer is, our Mishnah is not going to tell us anything because the implication of the ratio goes against the implication of the Seifa. So Toshma, let's try this. We have a Braita. Beit Kur Afar Nimocher Lecha. Kiveit Kur Afar Nimocher Lecha, like in our first Mishnah. Hein Chaser Hein Yater Animocher Lecha. Or he said that, Afilu Pichet Rova Laseya. Hotir Rova Laseya Higiel. Even if you missed that much. So now we have Hein Chaser Hein Yater. And along with it, just Beit Kur. Alma stama nami kein chaser hin yater dami. So you see very clearly that without any explication, such as midah b'chevel, it is just like more or less. No. Hatam pruji kamafarish. Meaning maybe that braita, the first two lines are explained by the last one. Ezu Beit Kur, shehi ke Beit Kur. When is a Beit Kur more or less? Meaning ke Beit Kur. In other words, maybe it's all one statement, not three. So then if that's the case, why did the Braita say, Beit Kur ani mocher lecha, ki Beit Kur ani mocher lecha, hin chaser hin yater ani mocher lecha? It should have said, Beit Kur, ki Beit Kur, hin chaser hin yater ani mocher lecha. Alav shma mina stam anami kein chaser hin yater dami shma mina. Our original inference was correct, and that is that if you say it without any explication, it is just like saying more or less. All right, and the only way that it's exact is if you say exact midah b'chevel right on the rope. All right, they used to use a rope for measuring land. Now, mal machzir lo ma'ot. When the Mishnah said that you return money in order to give the seller the leg up. Now, le'apot kochos shemocher minan, le'apot kochos shelukeach lo minan, we're only enabling the discretion of the seller and not the discretion of the buyer. It's only the seller's in the driver's seat. In such a case, v'atanya pichet shivat kabinu machzalakur, which is our same measure. If you left off 7.5 kabin to a kor, which is about 1/24, hotir shivat kabinu machzalakur, higio, that the deal's good. Yoter mikan, if it's more than that, kofina tamocher limkor v'talokeach likach. We force the seller to sell and the buyer to buy, which means the mocher is not in the driver's seat. So, what's the situation? We're talking about a case where at the time of the sale that turned out to be errant, the land was worth more. And now it had gone down. We tell the seller, the seller says to the buyer, if you're going to give me back land, then give me land based on the current value, which means you're going to give me back more land. Right, which means that that's what the seller is forced to take. That he can choose to take money or land, but if he's going to take land, it's going to be land based on the original value. In the last time we said that we tell him to say that if you're going to give me land like the current cheap value. But we have another bright, which says that when you pay back based on the original value of the land, not the current value. The answer is, that was this case. So it's the opposite, where it was originally cheap, and then it became more, and then we force him to take it based on the original cheaper value. But the mocher is not forced to take land or money. It's his choice. It's just a question of which value of the land. Now, Shim Shiva Sadeh Bikur said a Kamin. Amravuna Tisha Kabin Shamru Vafilubik Agdola. Ravuna says something kind of remarkable. He says 9 kabin could be an overage even in a huge value. You could sell 1,000 acres, and if you have 9 kabin extra, then you'd still might be interested in keeping that. He disagrees, and he says it's a ratio, and that is that the extra 9 kabin is not just to have 9 kabin in the field, but a situation where there is 9 kabin per Beit Kur. 7.5 kabin per Beit Kur, which means 9 kabin would only kick in if you were selling more than a Beit Kur. Now, v'ika milta yatera, if there's anything over, letishat kabin hadri. Then, if it's more than 9 kabin, then you give it back. Eight of Rav Lav Nachman, so Rav turned to Rav Nachman and said, Shim Shierba said, Beit Chatishat kabin. Our Mishnah is a lav dezamin lekurayim. Are we talking about a case where you sold even 2 kur and you just have 9 kabin, which the overage would be 15? Lo dezamin lekur. He sold a kur and there was 9 kabin extra. Uvigina beit chatzikav. And then the next part of the Mishnah said the negina half a kav. Lav dezamin le sataim. Are we talking about a case where you sold 2 seah, which now comes out to be 1/12? Lo dezamin le seah. He sold a seah. In other words, our Mishnah is not giving objective amounts, but it's giving ratio amounts. And that is, if you sold a Seah and you had a fourth of a Kav left, Rabbi Kiva would say that's enough already for a Gina, and then you could keep that instead of the money. Okay, by Rashi, Sadev and Aset Gina, Gina and Aset Sadev Mai. What happens if you have a field that later got turned into a garden or vice versa? Which measure does it take? At what point does the seller say, I get to keep the land? Can he do it at half a kav, or does it have to have 9 kabin? Teku. Tani mayasa mukhla sadeyu afilu koshu machzir lo karka. If the overage was next to the seller's field, even if it's a small amount, then he has to return land and not money. Barvashi bor maush tafsik. What happens if between the seller's land and the land that he sold, there was a little bit over, there's a cistern, or a matamai maush tafsik, or there's a ditch, or an irrigation trench, or derech habim maush tafsik. What if there's a public road going through? Richva nedikla maush tafsik. Or there's a row of trees. Does this constitute an interruption such that now it's no longer adjacent, and unless he has a sizable enough amount, he has to take money? Or do you say, it's really right next to my field, and even a small amount, I'm going to take the land? The answer is, teku. We're, of course, familiar with that series of questions in a slightly different format from the second paragraph of Peah, that questions what things constitute a division in a field to make it two fields for Peah, and we saw several applications of that earlier on. The Mishnah ends off by saying you don't just pay back, if you had overage, you don't just pay back the base difference, you also pay back the surplus, which of course is backwards. It's upside down. Really, the read should be the opposite. You don't just pay back the surplus, you even pay back the roven. We had that earlier in the sixth parak, when we argued that whenever you have to pay because of overage, you don't just pay the overage, you pay all of the surplus, even though had you not gone over, you would be able to keep it. And this was one of the arguments supporting that. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up in the next Mishnah, Mishnah Gimel of the seventh parak, as we continue our study of Masachet Baba Batra. Everybody should have a wonderful day.